and voice print identification. Clearly, if Professor David Crystal OBE, an honorary professor of linguistics at the University of Wales, is to be believed, then of course, why wouldn't he? Just having been a midweek drive at person. Aloha, Buck, in Hilo, Hawaii.
Aloha, how are you doing, Alex?
Well, after the excitement last week when we reached you from a streetcar on the streets of San Francisco, quite literally chasing after Carl Malden, well, he's ghosted anyway. You know, here you are back in the relative sanity of the Big Island. Well, not the Big Island, the Hawaiian Islands, the Sunshine State, is it?
It is the Big Island. You know, people always confuse that because it's the island of Hawaii, but it's also the Big Island. And so, you know, people get confused all the time because they think they're in Honolulu, on which is the island of Oahu, and they think that's the Big Island when people talk about the Big Island. But the Big Island, the actual name of the island is Hawaii, and that's also the name of the whole state. So it gets very confusing for people. But it is the island of Hawaii, and we call it the Big Island. The Big Island is kind of its nickname.
And I think I was also incorrect in saying it was the Sunshine State, because that's Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, so, the Aloha State.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Aloha State. You see, this is what happens when the Hawaiian Polynesian cultures actually come up, not to Lincoln, but to Middlesbrough recently, where we had a major celebration of vibrant Polynesian cultures at Middlesbrough's Captain Cook Birthplace Museum at the weekend, which was a few weekends ago, actually. But we did promise that we'd actually mention that USA-based Tongan group Pacific Breeze, whose lead singer Cassette was keen to visit the museum, was one of the first Tongan performers to perform at the birthplace of Captain Cook himself. Other countries represented at the event included Samoa, Papua New Guinea, and Molokai Island, an island in the Hawaiian archipelago.
Nice, awesome.
We've obviously worked on this connection, Buck, because, you know, Middlesbrough to Lincoln, it's only 126 miles, so, you know, we're getting there. It's step by step. time for introductions. What? In the studio, I don't know if you've caught any of the show on air so far, because in Hawaii, it's very... In fact, how early in the morning on Wednesday is it in Hawaii at present?
Right now, it is just 5 minutes before 7 a.m., so 6:55 a.m., and I'm looking out over the vast, beautiful blue Pacific. It's a gorgeous day, big, beautiful, clear sky, and the temperature couldn't be better. It's 72 degrees, which is 22.2 centigrade. I had to look it up, but that's like what people usually set their air conditioning units to. But so it could not be a more gorgeous day. I imagine once the sun gets up, it's going to be a hot one today. But and the ocean looks nice and calm and beautiful. I think it's a great day for swimming. So I'm sure I'll be doing that a little later.
See, it's difficult to really tell the difference at this stage between Hawaii and Lincoln, isn't it, Gemma?
That's just what I mean, we have the Brayford, beautiful water, beautiful skies.
Exactly, yeah. Swans, everything sort of through there.
Pollution notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Please, one person's pollution is another person's rich oil industry. It's open to all sorts of other areas here. Buck, would you like to just share with us once again the website so I can pull it up for the benefit of the mouthpiece poet scenario, so they can actually see some of the wonderful things that you are sort of working through this? So what's the best way to get in touch with the go-to holiday cottage in Hawaii?
It is www.sunrisecottageshawaii.com.
There we are, just sort of working that through as we speak. In fact, whilst we're doing that, I'm going to invite Ron to deliver another piece of authentic poetry, because this is, again, a huge moment here, spreading the words of performance poets from Lincoln mouthpiece poets, across the airwaves to Hawaii. I can tell Buck already feeling a sense of anticipation coming across here. So, you know, are you ready to go with respect to this grand event? Deliver the piece.
I'm ready, yeah.
Ron, take it away.
Okay, then. Well, I find social media quite an inspiring thing. And I've only been on it for a couple of years. And I made a friend with a life coach who lives in Mexico. And we used to talk most days. And then at one point she disappeared for a few months. And it struck me that having spoken to someone on a daily basis... how you could have these strange feelings of missing someone you never met. So this poem is called Message. I log into Facebook, look through comments and messages received, reply, and then click on your profile. Nothing. No posting since late September. Where did you suddenly go? It's a mystery to me. I'm left feeling empty inside. It's now November. I reminisce, recalling sharing photos, poems, thoughts and music videos. How I miss them. We flirted a little, choosing songs to touch the heart. I'm left feeling empty inside. Your messages seem to spring to life. Texts come in alive with personality. Words to make me smile. Words to make me laugh. Words that took my breath away. Missing them now. I hear a ping. Message received. Click. But it's not you. I'm left feeling empty inside. I send a message. Are you out there somewhere in time? Brings back memories of a movie we shared. I can hear the music now. Rachmaninoff. Rhapsody on a theme of Paganini. Recalling words said. Come back to me. I'm left feeling empty inside. I'll always remember the 5th of December, sat writing deep in thought. A ping sounded on my mobile device. Message received. I click on the screen. Greeted by a message from you. Yay, you're back. Quickly I reply, and looking at the screen, see message seen. You're there. We have a chat and agree to talk again soon. I'm left feeling warm and contented.
Well, there we are. And the magical response is the magical Big Island Getaway. There we are. That's the Sunrise Cottage scenario.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful.
It is. It's like Skegness on a winter's day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Buck, what did you make of the piece of poetry, please?
Well, I think it's really wonderful, and it really speaks to so much about the present day and how we can make these what seem to be very strong connections, and they can just disappear into thin air. I'd made a very nice connection with someone that lives in Romania, somewhere where I could probably will never see. But I made sure, you know, at some point I thought, wow, if I don't get a message, if something was to happen to me, this person is, you know, if I was to die or something, this person could never know, and their mystery would never be solved. And that's why I made a point of giving him a friend's contact information so that there would be a place to find that. But it's interesting with that how I'm not on Facebook anymore, but there's so many other avenues that use that. But how we find out about how people's death and things from Facebook and places like that. And it's amazing how you can make such a strong connection with someone, and it's so ephemeral. It could just disappear any second. And like you said, it's left feeling completely empty. You know, it's like it's really a very interesting phenomenon. Very interesting. And someone whose eyes you've never looked into.
Fortunately,
never shared a cup of tea with.
Fortunately, Buck, no. Being a midweek driver correspondent from Hawaii means you're guaranteed immortality, so we don't have to worry about sort of issues. As Ilana Rain will confirm when we speak to her later on. Of course, Somewhere in Time, a movie starring Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour, and with music, as you rightly said, by Rachmaninoff, John Barry, of course, did the main theme to that, and also directed by Jeno Swark, who, of course, directed many episodes of Kojak, which is like East Coast as opposed to West Coast. See how we got back to San Francisco there? It's a nice little one. Mariner Cottage or Coconut Cottage, Buck?
Oh, either one. The Coconut Cottage is the one people really love.
This is critical. This could be Gemma Baker's sort of little treat that she has coming up here. So depending on sort of what she makes of this particular thing. So Kahana Beach Coconut Cottage is
that? Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah.
Okay,
that's good. Nice cocktail.
Location report from Mouthpiece Poets.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a win-win situation. And yeah, I mean, this is basically the booking price, the fees are just phenomenally.
Yeah,
that's
not too bad,
isn't it? Very reasonably priced. Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I'm always booked. Tonight is actually the the only night in I don't know how long that I don't have a guest in either room. A friend of mine messaged me yesterday and said he was going to be coming down this way and wanted to stop by and I for a drink or whatnot. And I looked at my calendar and realized it was the only night in well over a month that I haven't had any guests. And I declined and said, you know, I think I'm just going to enjoy a quiet night home alone.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, had you mentioned a bit earlier, we could have got on our private chat and flown over there. Exactly. That's the sort of key thing from that perspective. So have we got any Hawaiian visitors here? Have you been to Hawaii, folks? No.
Not yet.
Exactly. And it's not a kind of pizza, has to be said. You know. Congratulations, you've ruined pizza. Sorry, but carry on.
Ruined pizza, I love it. Well, yeah, we had our pineapple story last week.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny.
It's exactly.
Yes, pineapple on pizza is wonderful, absolutely. I agree with that for sure. We have ruined pizza.
There are certain moments which we just have to say, just let it go. You know, you can always download the podcast.
Oh,
Gemma, it was going so well. You know, I thought you're passing.
Never going to invite me back now. Are you?
I thought you're passing so many sort of routines there to actually get an invitation to Buck's Hawaiian sort of paradise there. And there's a little kitty cat there as well. Who is the kitty cat?
Yes, that's Winter. He's got quite the. He's become very popular.
Yeah.
People show up and already know his name. He's quite aggressively friendly.
To be precise, a resident super chilled feline Buddha.
But yes, he's like a living teddy bear. I love him. He's so great.
Exactly. I'm going to ask the question because obviously Alana is mostly a doggy person from that point of view. No, I'm not using a euphemism at all here, but in terms of her wonderful Great Dane, etc. How did she react to the cat? How did she react to the cat? How did Alana react to the cat? Did they connect?
Oh, no, she loved the cat. She was great. She loved the cat.
Well, you see,
her kids really loved him because you can just pick him up and manhandle him like a teddy bear. Yeah,
but you don't want to pick up a cat and manhandle them because they've got feelings too. You know, if anything comes out of this telephonic link book, it's a case of be kind to cats because you never know when they've got felines. Sorry.
You know how most cats, you pick them up and they might scratch you, or it depends. It's always with cats, it's always on their terms. Unlike dogs, but Winter's great because he just loves the attention. He's one of those cats where a toddler could pick him up and kind of have him hanging there in an uncomfortable position.
Don't try this at home, please. Do not try this at home. If you've got a cat there, you think I'm going to go pick it. Don't go there. You know, we would not be responsible for that. Astonishingly, Buck, that has brought us to the end of another Hawaiian connection before we whiz off from one superb island to the Isle of Man. I know, I can't believe I said those words either. But still, TT races in one place, not in the other. Could be very exciting. Gemma, keep the line going. Those last two questions, as you heard when I put them to Professor David Crystal, he didn't hear the second question at all. He ignored me completely and just thanked me for the actual interview.
I'll try and get better. Whatever. Buck, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Absolutely. Next time I think I'll talk on the non-cordless phone, though.
Well, that's brilliant, because you've just answered the second question, which is, will you come back? So.
And obviously...
Oh, absolutely, always.
On the non-cordless phone. Have the frogs stopped chirping, then, with it being early in the morning? Do they not come back until in the evening?
No, they don't come back until the evening, yeah, once it gets dark, and... Then we'll hear the frogs.
Yeah. There we are. So. But somehow, I know you're going to have an absolutely superb Wednesday. So enjoy, Buck. Enjoy.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. You have a wonderful day.
Everybody's trying to take. putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Gemma, you've recently become a Midweek Drivert officially, which is always good. It means in the fullness of time you will have your own jingle and ident put together as well, so that's always exciting.
Yeah, we'll
put them. But Jessica Ward, who is currently waiting in the Isle of Man at this very moment, listening to the whole production when she's not actually doing Jessica Ward photography. What a wonderful shot of the Ben Mai Cree entering the harbour today under Manannan's cloak, which is recently to be found there. She has got another one that's been laid out for her in her return. And are we ready to actually listen to this? I'm sorry. Wait, get a set of headphones that work, Gemma. That's the important thing, you know. I mean, Jessica's waiting for the unveiling of her latest routine. Isn't that right, Jessica?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, here it comes.
Now back from Madrid and bringing the best of New Zealand and the Isle of Man to the programme, it's Jessica Ward.
Do you like that, Jessica?
That's fantastic. You've updated it so well.
Well, you see, we don't mess around. That's the important thing.
That's very true.
Exactly.
That's very true.
So, clearly, I think Hawaii is the next one in your list of things to visit after Spain and the Isle of Man. So,
I'd love to go to Hawaii.
Yep.
That's my next destination.
Perfectly okay. And again, looking at Jessica Ward photography, sunset photos are a cliche, but they're too wonderful and diverse to not admire. There we are, some of Jessica Ward's immaculate photographic there that comes there. Peel, the Isle of Man, Peel Harbour, actually taken last year, proving that Jessica actually travelled back in time to actually get a shot of the whole sort of sequence as well. There's no end to the talents that our Level 3 incoming journalism undergraduate actually has from that point of view.
You're too kind, Alex.
And, of course, a bit of news. Next month, starting a new journey to follow some photo dreams. To begin, she'll be in New Zealand until October.
Who's this?
Actually, is that... No, it's not you at all.
No.
I got the right one here.
I wish it was.
Yeah, exactly.
How
bizarre. Yeah, never mind. Anyway, it is just
cool. Unless my parents have organised this.
I would have thought so. No, we'd best not say anything. Bridget would be very confused. Anyway, moving on from that perspective, so far on the programme we've talked a bit about language, we've talked about the voice, the importance of the voice, we've talked about vocal prints, we've talked about Edinburgh being as hot as Hawaii. I don't think so, William, somehow. Maybe as hot as the Mediterranean, but still. And of course we've had Camo's selection from Nashville and so on and so forth. We've also got three fine folk from Mouthpiece Poets. Actually four fine folk now that Sam is about to rejoin us again, having sort of had a comfort break. Sometimes the excitement midway through the show gets too much, as you know, Jessica, exactly. Thank you. So from that perspective, whom would you like to speak to? Would it be Ron? Would it be Frankie? Would it be Sam? Or would it be Gemma, who, of course, may just give you another rendition of Buzzkill in her own unique way? It's amazing. Anyway, it's entirely up to you, Jessica. Whom do you wish to go to before we actually head off to Ilana Rain?
Well, I'll go with the last one. I'll go with you, Gemma.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm not going to go for Buzzkill this time.
Okay.
Sorry to disappoint you. It would have been the 17th time, maybe, up before.
Well, astonishingly, as I'll reveal to the listener and Jessica at the moment, you have indeed met William Coles's challenge and you have written that piece of poetry about the show host.
Yourself, Alex, we have that Clara here.
But we'll have that with Phil Dearness, I feel, because it's the sort of thing Phil Dearness needs to kind of keep his creativity going. I don't want to reveal it too much for Jessica. It sort of builds on that basis. You know,
work on that basis. Enigmas.
An enigma wrapped in an enigma, as somebody once said. But still. Anyway, Gemma, what are you going to provide for us now?
Okay, I'm going to read a poem called Cough. Black scales covered his throat walls. I wanted to peel them off one by one. Oh, the satisfaction that would bring to release him, to hear him speak in freedom, but he is restricted by his own limitations. One by one they adorn his unripened flesh. Cough, cough, launch them like confetti from your lips. Caged words exploding and expulsions, cover me with your confessions. Do not grow ambiguous. Amphibious, You are a human being, be it. You have become susceptible to this disease through fear. Eventually, this cancer will cover your heart. The only antidote is to beat so fiercely, so hard, that the scales cannot attach. Catch them before they latch like lead weights, anchoring you eventually to a place no one wants to live. You will become an abandoned building crumbling. Cough. Cough, speak to me. Every truth you've ever seen, all the dark thoughts that have passed through your mind, all the joy and beauty you've left behind. Tell me yours, and I'll tell you mine. Cough, cough, never let your truth get lost. Cough until your throat grows sore. Cough until there is no more. Thank you.
Profound. Wow. Or, as we like to say,
quite aptly, I am actually developing a bit of a cold at the moment.
Let it go. Yeah, get some garlic capsules in there. Gemma, superb stuff there. But as ever, it's Jessica Ward that kind of has the casting vote on this particular aspect. And, you know, whether she sort of thinks, yes, that would fit in well with a certain brand of photography I'm actually going in now. Jessica, what are your thoughts?
I really liked it, and the way you read it was really cool. It kept your interest the whole time.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, what inspired you to write that exact poem?
It's kind of just people I know that I've met that sort of aren't really their true selves and care maybe a little bit too much about what society thinks of them, what other people expect of them, and just kind of really wanting them to just let go and be themselves.
That's a beautiful thing to write about, because I do agree with you. I think a lot of people do worry about how others perceive them.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that you've written something about that.
Oh, thank you.
Again, that's why they're inspirational and they're mouthpiece poets. So how can Jessica, when she returns to Lincoln, all the way from the Isle of Man, sometime in late September, early October, unless, of course, she goes off to New Zealand, we don't know. It's a public post, who knows what happens.
My life on that. Is an
exactly. How can she get in touch with mouthpiece poets?
You can come and see us perform at Lincoln Drill Hall. We've got our next event on September the 20th, and we have another one on October the 19th. Or you can just check us out online on YouTube, on Facebook. We've got videos on there. Just Google Mouthpiece Poets and have a look.
Sure, she will be part of it. Back with the midweek drive scenario. And again, for those people who thought, no, they can't possibly actually beat the joy of the Phil Lianis Antipodean jingle. Well, it took us a lot of time, but we did feel we had to say...
Now back from Madrid and bringing the best of New Zealand and the Isle of Man to the programme, it's Jessica Ward.
Mm-hmm. No.
I love it.
Ron's almost in tears.
I just like your Facebook page, by the way. Mouthpiece poet.
An added bonus, you know. And when you're liked by Jessica Ward, well, suddenly the world is a happier place. Last two questions for Jess, please. Gemma.
Did you enjoy the telephonic link with us today, Jess?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. And are you coming back?
I hope so.
Well, exactly. She's got a degree to complete. You know, all sorts of things are happening on that basis. Jessica Ward keeps on keeping on. Didn't even have a chance to talk about the video she's been shooting in the Isle of Man and all the other exciting things that are there. It'll all come. It'll all happen. Ilana Rain up next from California.
We may or may not all be Cylons, but the undisputed truth is that we're all delighted to share the perspectives of ace New York director Ilana Rain. Prepare to take another step into the cosmos.
And do you really feel? Of course, really, we should have updated that to say New York director now living in California, but it was far too confusing. So we thought we'd stick with a classic. Classic gold and European female and the Stranglers. Not that she's European, but of course has a lot of European connections. Ilana Rain, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
I'm great, Alex. How are you doing? Thank you.
Well, the question was actually put out a few moments ago. So, Buck, is he just some random Hawaiian hotelier that you kind of got onto the show as a regular basis? I didn't want to reveal the sort of real source behind the whole thing, although if they were paying attention, they might have actually caught the question that I was putting to Buck about how you yourself, Ilana, got on with Buck's cat, the feline Buddha, and actually sort of bouncing it up and down on your knee. I thought, Ilana's more of a canine person, you know?
I was not allergic to Buck's cat. It was really amazing. There are about two cats on planet Earth that I know of that don't provoke a reaction. Well, maybe three. One is Phil's cat. The other is Buck's cat. And I believe this is because their owners are just so chill. They're just mellow. And they've got, you know, they transmit that to their cat, which then doesn't send off and spray its, you know, stay away, I hate you, make you sneeze.
Don't you just hate it when that happens?
That causes most allergies.
Exactly. Of course, Phil Lynn.
Do you like that scientific explanation of what allergies really are?
I thought it was spot on, Ilana, as we'd expect. Of course, we'll find out a bit more about Fuzz Aldrin, which is, of course, the Phil Lynn's cat, in a few moments from now. And as we often say, Fuzz actually chose Phil. Anyway, how is life treating you, and what's the weather like in California? Because astonishingly, we've been to Hawaii, we've been to Nashville, but you're the first Californian we've effectively sort of come to on the program today.
Nice. Well, very good. I'm happy to report it's in the 80s. You can do the conversion yourself for Celsius, and it's dry, sunny and bright. In the afternoons, it gets a little hot, but, you know, it's totally manageable. It's nice equilibrium, very good for focus, very good for time in nature.
And since last we spoke, of course, what creative, wonderful material have you been putting together? Have you considered actually putting together a movie which actually focuses on mouthpiece poets, performance poetry in action? They could do the soundtrack to your visual genius.
Oh, thank you. No, I only work with mouth breather poets.
Well, that's something we weren't expecting, was it?
Well, I'm sure we could fit in some heavy breathers.
Mouthpiece poets, not like mouth breather poets.
I like it.
Mouth breather poets,
Thanks for the audio enhancements on the midweek drive. Working diligently on my film. Well, several films going at the same time. We're aiming to be oh so close into pre-production with LA-based psychological thriller, and can't really talk much more about that because we're just on the cusp of securing some financing, so, you know, it's a tricky situation.
Don't say anymore.
This whole business, it's almost a miracle any movie gets made. It's such a house of cards game, but, you know, keeping positive and optimistic. I just got back from a trip to Europe, actually, went to Italy, and that was quite a thing. I hadn't been there in about 15 years, and it was, I think, the biggest difference in that time was the rise of social media in between and the rise of the selfie stick. So all these incredible landmarks and, you know, every single bridge in Venice was swarming with people with selfie sticks taking.
Well, Ilana, as I frequently said, the classic line, I got 4,000 friends on Facebook and still can't find a person to take a photograph of me. You know, it happens, you know.
Yes, and that was sad because the benevolent side of me was like, oh, I'll take your picture. You know, you're all alone. But then you realize
I've got my selfie and I'm happy with my selfie. Go away. My selfie is all I need.
that this is true. But then I realized people even traveling in couples and groups were still taking selfies.
Exactly. Now let's put that to the team. Ron, are you a selfie person?
Definitely not. No.
I mean, you leap over 4-foot walls to get to the studio.
In the hope that somebody will photograph me doing so.
Clearly. You know, if only for YouTube comedic value, you'll take one for the team there. Sammy, are you a selfie person?
I'm not such a selfie person, but I did actually shoot a music video in Venice, and I got people who were taking selfies on the bridge. I got them to all get together and do like heart symbols and like. But it's not finished yet, so otherwise I'd link you to it. But yeah, so they could be useful.
Oh, well done! That's a good use of those people. Very nice.
Exactly. We use them for our own initiative.
If you've got any thoughts about how you can actually put some selfie people to good use, you know, for the benefit of mankind.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say those people. Though I mean that's really inflammatory.
Hey, listen, you know, you should have heard some of the things we were saying about Americans earlier in the program. We couldn't broadcast them. So, only kidding, former colonials. Over to your good self, Frankie. Selfies?
No.
Yeah. Somehow I thought you were going to say that. And Gemma, who effectively sort of sums up the whole notion of you have a mobile phone, but you'll take the SIM card out so you don't have to use it.
Yeah, I've got all the benefits of a mobile phone without anyone being able to reach me. So.
Well, you know, I was happy to see, and so I do have one social media account still active, and it's an Instagram. You can just find me under my name. But I took some time to go to the Vatican Museums, you know, because it's incredible and the keys. Buy tickets in advance so you can skip the 4-hour line. And fortunately, they banned selfie sticks. So that was a really good move. Yeah. I mean, more good move on the Pope's part.
Pope Francis comes out there, so, you know, have a selfie. It's not. You can't. Let's go back 2,000 years. You know, Calvary, Bethlehem. They're not going to go for selfies, are they? Please, you know, Sermon on the Mount. You know, blessed.
Very long paper.
Exactly. You know, and Michelangelo, as you rightly said there, he would have had to have a whole new take on the Sistine Chapel if he had to sort of say, well, what about the selfies? We don't hear the good Lord saying, blessed are the selfies. There we are. In fact, he's online at present, even at this moment in time. Ilana's hotline to the Vatican to actually sort of say, yes, absolutely. Sorry, you can tell we're on a bit of a rant here, Ilana. We appreciate the sort of appreciate the line from there. Exactly. Gemma, any other questions you want to put to Ilana?
No.
So there we are. You see, the excitement that's being built because the challenge that was put in the early part of this production was by William Coles, ace author living in Edinburgh, author of course of Mr. Two Bomb and of course Dave Cameron's School Days, wonderful satire, which actually shows Boris Johnson in a whole new world. William challenged the mouthpiece poets not to breathe through their mouths. It's okay.
I've been holding my breath ever since.
Exactly. But to actually write a piece of poetry about the show coordinator host. In fact, that would be myself. Now, in fact, Gemma, what was the official challenge?
To write a Clerahue, I do believe
Clerahue.
It was called.
Yeah.
About your good self, Alex, and we've come up with a little ditty for you.
Sadly, Ilana, unless you actually tune into sirenonline.co.uk or download the podcast, you're not going to be able to hear it because I've saved it for Phil Dearness, because I feel that, you know, Lady Killers has wrapped. I've looked at Lady Killers, marvellous stuff, or the Lady Killers, interesting in so many ways. We're doing features on that. I feel it's time to get Phil Dearness his reward from that point of view. And besides, I believe, Ron, he was on the show last time around, so you're quite keen to actually renew acquaintanceship with the Linus Meister.
Yes, definitely.
He says with such conviction, you've almost said it was Shakespearean.
He's a pro.
Just sorted out there, which means it just remains for Gemma. To put those last two questions to... I mean, I would have opened it up to the rest of the chats, but I feel, Gemma, that you are team leader for Mouthpiece Poets, so you should really actually go for that whole process and ask those last two questions in your own way.
Okay, Ilana, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Oh, yes, I did. Of course.
Fantastic. And will you be returning?
I'd love to.
brilliant.
Because we often have to thank Ilana, as we said, for Buck, for composers. I mean, in fact, the Ilana Rain Agency for Talented Broadcasters she just sort of finds them almost on a whim, basically. I mean, she even introduced
us. That's really sweet. I want to just send a big hug and kiss to Buck that he's listening. I miss you, Buck.
You see, there we are. And I'm sure that Buck, who probably won't have gone back to sleep now because it was early in the morning in Hawaii, of course, but it's coming around to 7:30. Exactly. But he says he prefers the morning ones as opposed to the evening ones. It's his way.
I get it.
As I do, as soon as I wake up, any night, any day, I know that it's you I need to take the blues away. It must be love, love, love. It must be love.
AM in LA can only mean it's time for the Midweek Drive team to welcome their top Californian cultural correspondent, Phil Leonis, back for another segment of Cultural Perspicacity.
Who astoundingly, in his choice of top five best DVDs ever, selected Citizen Kane, Fellini's 8.5, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Casablanca and The Third Man, and not Guy Ritchie's The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I was so shocked, I put a post on his Facebook site. He hasn't responded. Phil, welcome. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I think we would have long since used up all the trees on the planet to make paper before we could get down to where Guy Ritchie's Man from U.N.C.L.E. might appear on anyone's list, Alex. You know, this is how Hollywood your show is that... you know, the announcer says it's 10:30 in Los Angeles, and it's so appropriate because in Los Angeles, 10:30 really does mean 10:37, 10:38.
Exactly.
Whatever. It's 10:30-ish. You know, our clocks here all say ish after the hour on them. I don't know if you're aware of this. Is there anyone in the studio with you today?
Is there anyone in the studio spoken to somebody who's so busy at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club he hasn't even heard about the challenge, Gemma Baker? No, exactly. You got four mouthpiece poets. You got, and I will use the whole sort of scenario here, you've got Rocket Ron.
Hi.
You've got the amazing Frankie.
Hello.
You've got Sam, who's just amazing because what he does with selfie sticks has to be seen to believe, particularly in Venice.
It's not suitable for radio.
Always thinking of the audience. I'm very impressed with respect to that. And you've got team captain Gemma Baker, who took the challenge that was put forward by William Coles, which we've already been teasing ahead and saying, we'll save it as a treat for Phil Dearness.
I feel like there's a lot built up for this. A lot of anticipation. For a very small room.
So the answer is yes, there are people in the studio with
you. Yes. it's just the powers of mimicry and indeed voice activated software that we actually have here. Press a button, ooh, it happens there. Marvellous.
Well, I'm intrigued by this challenge. Don't leave me in suspense. I'm intrigued by this.
Okay, Gemma, reveal how this matter, because there aren't many people who literally have sort of just tuned in and they're sort of challenge. Is this unusual for Phil Dearness? Normally, he just talks about how his cat is only one of two felines on the planet that don't have an allergic reaction to Ilana Rain or vice versa. You know, carry on.
Well, earlier we got challenged by William Coles on a show to write a Clarihue. First of all, we had to look up what that was.
and Phil would know. It's all right. Phil understands.
He kindly told us it was sort of two couplets about the
about a person, summing up their personality in a witty way. I don't really know if we achieved that, but we wrote a little something about Alex. Here it is. Alex, you always make us feel so welcome. Your skills are second to none. When you invite us to Siren FM, we jump over walls just to come. And you'll have missed that one of our members literally jumped over a wall earlier to make it to this show. So.
I'd like to thank my parents. I'd like to thank the Big Bang.
You've been immortalised in poetry, Alex.
So what can I say? Years I've been waiting for sorry. But it's not my opinion. It's what Phil Leonis thinks that really... So Phil Leonis, the man who for some bizarre reason still thinks that I actually am indelibly connected to the man who actually played Mother in the Avengers movie, otherwise known as Jim Broadbent.
I have not brought up your uncanny, spooky, stolen genetic resemblance to Jim Broadbent in quite a while.
But the wound runs deep, Phil. Nevertheless, I've already said, Alex Lefchuk, what you're listening to now, Jim Broadbent.
Hi, I'm Jim Broadbent. You're listening to Siren Radio 107.3 FM.
Totally different. Totally different.
See, they're all going to lie. They're all going to lie and say that you played some pre-recorded piece of audio brilliance at that moment instead of just leaning further away from the mic. Alex, I am hoping that you have been keeping up, social media savvy as you are. I hope you have been keeping up with when you were tagged on Twitter. Because a guest for your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, the free weekly podcast I've hosted since May of 2007 with Dean Haglin from The X-Files, had a guest suggested to us by one of our loyal listeners, a music journalist of some renown, Yoshi Kato, and I tweeted back to him that that sounded much more like a guest for the Midweek Drive. Do you know to which I am referring, Alex?
Well, I've actually just gone to Twitter now, but as I was saying to Gemma this very day, Twitter is one of those things where I tend to sort of send the thing through there, don't get very confused from that perspective, etc. I'm currently actually looking at Southside Broad Sea, and we can actually look at four new tweets here. I'm sure I'll find it in the fullness of time, but as it stands, if I'm being absolutely
well,
honest.
It is a father-daughter musical outfit. I guess we can call them a band, a duo. What have you, but they are a Star Trek tribute band. So already here, we've got two things that I know, Alex, you are in favor of. One, tributes to Star Trek, and two, of course, you're a fan of father-daughter relationships. You encourage those. And so here, you get to combine two of the things you enjoy in one, a father-daughter Star Trek tribute band. Literally, if their bio and their publicity is true, and how could it not be? They are saving the universe by singing songs about Star Trek, Live Long and Rock. How have these people not been on your show? Quite honestly, how have I not been bumped from today's show so that you could have them on?
Well, I see the tweets that I put up myself literally 59 minutes ago, which is the posting of two photos on Facebook in the album Midweek Drive. So that actually went on there. But as yet, haven't managed to track those particular other packages down. We will. I'll fail you that. Maybe Twitter's just sort of confused us in all sorts of ways there. But it's our way. It's now
back. And I apologize. I know that it's great radio to hear two middle-aged men just read each other's tweets.
That's what we do.
And yet, of course, I realize that it's taking time away from you reading a Facebook post written by Penny Evans. So please, let's get back to the business of the day.
So, Ron, now you appreciate why when you uttered those words. So, last time we spoke to Phil, he was driving through Texas.
Yes, it was, and it was a very interesting show that day.
Well, hopefully today has matched it, because we've only got another 10 minutes or so to go before all sorts of other things happen, including the button being pressed. But Phil hasn't said anything about that yet. I thought it was very heartfelt and very rewarding. I think you're to be congratulated from that. I don't know. I mean, Phil, he's already looking to book the movie rights, just based on that little clericue, just all set and ready to actually go. He's still kept very quiet. He's not sort of dying. maybe he's upset.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. Honestly, I've been drinking since I got up this morning. So I can't follow you at all.
You sound like a great candidate to be a member of Mouthpiece Poets. That's one of the prerequisites. So you're halfway there already.
In fact, I'm thinking that when he's not teaching acting, maybe actually filled in as a special guest Mouthpiece Poet scenario. I mean, there aren't many directors who started off as a stand-up comedian in the Los Angeles era. Indeed, era or whatever. But anyway, over to you. Your question, please.
Although, do you know that the great Barry Levinson, the Oscar-winning director of Rain Man, one of my favorite. What was the one with it? It wasn't Used Cars. That's Robert Zemeckis. I'm forgetting. I'm so sorry that I'm forgetting Barry Levinson's filmography. But of course, he started as a very successful stand-up comic. So it has happened before.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Ron, what was
we can edit that out, right? Of the podcast? Let's edit that out, where I brought up a whole thing about Barry Levinson without having a point.
I feel it adds to the quality of the whole issue, really. Over to you, please, Ron.
Well, I wanted to ask, what is your most favourite sci-fi movie?
Oh, probably 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Surf movie? Is that what you
asked? No, sci-fi, not surf movie. You see, that's lost in translation. Yes. You have that sort of satellite link takes us from Lincoln, England, not Nebraska, over to California, Los Angeles, and suddenly sci-fi translates to surf movie.
Yes.
In this side of the country,
oh,
we're thinking...
Oh, my favorite sci-fi movie?
Yes.
Well, one could argue that 2001: A Space Odyssey is a surf movie. I mean, you're literally surfing the eternal waves of consciousness. Okay, I got nothing. But 2001: A Space Odyssey is one of my three favorite films of all time. I posted this list as part of a competition. I did my five favorite films, and my five favorite films rotate 1 through 5 based on really what I've seen most recently. But 2001 kind of stands head and shoulders above almost all films of any genre. But some of my other favorites, Ridley Scott's Blade Runner, I love Ridley Scott's Alien. Recent vintage, I thought Children of Men is right up there as well. At some point, we will do a show again. And maybe we ought to have, Alex, you contribute a list to it of... the top science fiction films of all time on our show.
Phil, always available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, and science fiction film lists. Sam, would you like to...
You can combine it. I mean, if you can have a science fiction bar mitzvah, you are so ahead of the game.
It's a way forward.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Sam, would you like to select a number between 2 and 27, please?
Oh, I'll have 3, if that's...
Don't do it. Don't fall for his tricks. Don't do it.
Number 3, the universe has already sent down the line for Sam.
The thing that most forget while dreamily looking off into the horizon for the ship of their dreams is that such ships never sail in, but are actually built beneath their very feet. Oh, we owe the universe.
Didn't even get a PS, but... That's what the sort of...
Well, it's okay, because that one already has something to annoy me. Yeah, the way that the universe uses the word dream twice in one sentence. That is sloppy wordsmanship. The universe, I expect to be a better wordsmith than that. You come up with a different word.
Phil, you just need to calm down and chill out. It's all right. The USA, Team USA, is going to be the number one gold-winning medal sort of scenario in the Olympics, despite the fact that Britain currently in second position. Team GB, shall we say. Not quite as exciting as Team...
Are you enjoying the Olympics? Look, you seem historically to be a bigger... I don't know, advocate's not the right word, but you tend to enjoy the Olympics more than I do. You know, I enjoy them as much as the next person, unless the next person enjoys them. this time, I have actually, I've dedicated a lot of hours to watching it, and I really have been following it. And I think what it was that initially what got me to follow it was the story of the refugee athlete, but then all the negative press surrounding Rio and how they weren't ready for it and how this was going to be a disaster. I just found that I was rooting for them to really pull this off and for this to be a good thing for the people of Rio and the country of Brazil. And that got me, that gave me a rooting interest all of a sudden. I wanted this thing to be, and from what we're shown on the news, and obviously on the NBC coverage, but what we're shown on the news here is that it does seem to be a rather resounding success, this Olympics. And I'm wondering if that's your sense as well.
Well, apart from some boxing decisions, which were branded a disgrace, and a few sort of swimming decisions and pile-ups on the cycling scenario and issues with respect, nothing. I mean, Great Britain, Northern Ireland currently in second place with a total of 50 medals, 19 golds, 19 silver, 12 bronze. They've exceeded their expectations, ahead of China in third position, and Russia and Germany. Well, Russia obviously have got issues. You know, possibly they might have said, you know, had it not been for a few pharmaceutical companies, they might have actually had a much stronger outline set up there. United States.
I wasn't actually asking for a sports report. I meant more or less about the event itself. I mean, it's so odd that you sound like the American right now. Like, you can rattle off how many medals everybody's won.
Mo Farah's into the 5,000-meter final. It's fantastic.
Okay, but no reports of Zika virus, no calamities involving raw sewage that we know of. I mean, none of the things that were forecast, that were prognosticated about this.
But it's a case of being positive.
Except, of course, for the raw sewage of those boxing decisions.
Yeah, and of course, the excitement is only 4 years before we all camped at Tokyo. So, fantastic, you know, from Rio to Tokyo. It begs to actually have a clericy written about it. But the show has...
Okay, with the time we have left, I'm issuing a challenge, a poem that combines Alex and the Zika virus. Go!
We're good, but we're not that good.
Gemma,
we can probably come out with something that will be excellent.
Can people support Mouthpiece Poets and Lincoln and actually get involved via crowdfunding to support this grand initiative that continues to grow from strength to strength?
You can find us, if you go on crowdfunder.com, you can find us if you search Word of Mouth, Spoken Word and Live Music Night. We've already had quite a number of donations, but we're still looking for more so that we can continue to put on Word of Mouth at Lincoln Drill Hall. The next event will be on September the 20th at 7 p.m.
And on a show which has taken us from Nashville with Cameron Tilbury and a wonderful cowboy-esque beard, which is extraordinary. William Coles, of course, Professor David Crystal, Buck in Hawaii, Jessica Ward back in the Isle of Man, and happy with her jingle, even though we're still waiting for Phil Learness to actually voice the other script I sent to him. It'll happen, I'm sure. Ilana Rain and Phil Learness. Gemma, you've done this so well throughout the programme that I feel it's up to you to bowl those last two official questions to the Learness Meister.
Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I think this was a very good rehearsal, and I can't wait to get started.
Fantastic. Will you be returning?
Yes, I have nowhere else to go. I shall be in a week's time with my top 10 all-time favorite surf movies.
Fantastic.
Your bear.
And next week, author Tara Bennett will be celebrating the joy of the art of Ice Age and much, much more that she's working through that. Ron, have you enjoyed your 3 hours of fun at the University of Lincoln's very own Siren FM package today?
I always enjoy the experience here, Alex.
Good. And late comer, though, he almost broke his back getting here on his bicycle. Sam, what about yourself?
Oh, I've loved it. Loved every second.
Even the re-editing of your own poem, so it was radio-friendly. It's very impressive. And the way you can actually rhyme TV with Serengeti.
Yeah.
It's very good. And, of course, it's genius stuff. And the amazing Frankie.
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
For you?
Always.
Good. Gemma, happy for you?
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Good. Well, we're all happy then. Lots of great stuff happening as far as Siren FM is actually. Exactly. Happy poet is a well-fed poet and well put together, a mouth-breathing poet as well. Or mouthpiece poets, let's be honest. Junior mouthpiece poets will be happening too, so all sorts of excitement coming up. We go up to the news with a little touch of Bob Dylan and indeed, yes, BB Rexha featuring Nicki Minaj, No Broken Hearts. Well, of course not. You'll be listening to Midweek Drive on Siren FM. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
sneaky. Sip a little I'm sleepy. I'm the one that open out in Waikiki. Pull up in the ghost, I'm creepy. They don't want beef, we proved it. Better keep it on wax like a Q-tip. Keep it wetter than a cruise ship. Flower than a tulip. Flyer than your noob, I do it. Yup, I'm up to it. The girls is my sons, I'm giving them milf tees. They be sweating me headbands and gym tees. Like bad knees.